Yeah, so the Gita Dhyana Shlokas, like basically it's considered to be written by Madhusudana Saraswati, who lived in the 16th century, who was a Krishna Bhakta as well as an Advaitin. So the Dhyana Shlokas are considered to be the shlokas which are penned down by him in the starting of his like Gita commentary, which is called Gudartha Deepika. So he wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit, which is called Gudartha Deepika. While writing that, he wrote a Dhyana Shloka on it, which is now like widely accepted as the Dhyana Shlokas for the Bhagavad Gita. And this is generally accepted only in Advaita because a lot of shlokas are pointing to Advaita. So I guess like in one side it shows about 11 shlokas in total. So it goes something like this, the first one. ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम्. सो दिस् इस् द फस्ट् श्लोक. इट्स् लैक् इट्स् इन् द मीटर् लैक् विच् इस् क्वैट् कामन्. इट्स् दो इट्स् कन्सिडर्ड् वन् आफ़् द टफेस्ट् मीटर् आर् छन्दस्. शङ्कराचार्य यूसस् दिस् इन् इस् लैक् दक्षिणामूर्ति अष्टकम् इस् इन् द सेम् थिङ्ग्. सो ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं. भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं बाय बाय लॉर्ड नारायण हिमसेल्फ. पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां फॉर द एनलाइटनमेंट ऑफ पार्थ और अर्जुन. प्रतिबोधितां मीन्स एनलाइटनमेंट. सो like proclaimed. So Bhagavad Gita is by default proclaimed by Lord Narayana himself and for enlightenment of Partha, who got enlightened because at the end of the 18th chapter, after Krishna explains everything to Arjuna, Arjuna said that Nashto Moha Smritir Labdha Tvat Prasadat Maya Achyuta स्थितोऽस्मि गतसन्देहः करिष्ये वचनं तव. ओ ओ अर् ओ कृष्ण, लैक् इन् द स्टार्टिङ्ग् ऐ वास् लैक् स्ट्रग्लिङ्ग् अ लाट्, लैक् ऐ डिण्ट् नो वाट् टु डू बिकास् अर्जुना सेव्स् दट् ओके मै गाण्डीवं मै बो हीस् गोयिङ्ग् टु फाल् डौन्, ऐ एम् फालिङ्ग् डौन् एण्ड् आल् दोस् थिङ्ग्स् एण्ड् फैनली ही सेस् नष्टो मोहः. मोहः नष्टः, मै डेल्यूशन् इस् has been destroyed. Smritir labdha, when delusion is there, that leads to destruction of smriti. Smritir bramshah happens, or smriti becomes like diluted or wrong. But smritir labdha, I have got back my memory, I have got back my intellectual conviction by your grace. So that is a testimony to the truth that by the Lord's advice or by the Lord's sayings in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's delusion was removed. So that means Arjuna was enlightened. It is a different story that later in Mahabharatam, Arjuna forgets whatever Krishna has said, and he asks Krishna, "Oh Krishna, I have forgotten whatever you taught me." And then Krishna says, "Okay, that was said in a Maya, Yoga Maya. I can't recollect or reproduce it again. Therefore, but the compassionate guru or compassionate being, so compassionate, Krishna again explained to him, which is popularly now known as Anugita, or the second Gita, later Gita kind of thing. But it is like by Arjuna's words, at least temporarily, Arjuna's moha or delusion was removed. So Arjuna was enlightened by Krishna's words. So Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam means by himself, Parthaya Pradibhoditam, for enlightenment of Partha or that which enlightened Partha, and Vyasena Gratitam. So, and this has been written by Vyasa. Vyasena Gratitam. Vyasena Gratitam, like that which has been written by Vyasa, which is Mahabharatam. And Madhye, in the middle of such a Mahabharatam written by Vedavyasa, this Gita appears. Purana Munina means like by the person who is like Vedavyasa, who has written all the Puranas, such a Muni, such a person, such a saint, has jotted down Mahabharatam, in the middle or amidst or like part of which is the Gita. So Gita is considered as the Gita is considered, ideally it's considered as the chapters to from 23 to 40 or 41, 18 chapters of the Bhishma Parva. So it's part of Mahabharatam. So Bhagavad Gita first was explained by Narayana himself for enlightening Partha, and it is found in Mahabharatam, which has been written down by the great saint Vyasa. And what does it speak about? What is the subject matter? Advaitamrita Varshini. So it is like, it is that Bhagavati, it is that goddess, that Bhagavati. Bhaga means like the various like powers, or you can say Ashta Aishwaryam, Aishwaryams. So, Bhagavatim, it is that goddess who showers Advaita Amrita, Advaita Amrita Varshini. So, it is that goddess, Bhagavad Gita is that goddess which showers, or from which falls the fountain of Advaita Amrita. Means the water of the nectar of Advaitam, Advaita Amrita of, like that means like the essence of Bhagavad Gita is Advaita Amritam, Advaitic immortality, or Advaita nectar is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And Ashtadasha Adhyayini, it consists of Ashtadasha Adhyayam, 18. Ashta means 8, Dasham means 10, Ashtadasham means 18, Adhyayini, it consists of 18 chapters. And Amba means like it's a way of telling that Bhagavad Gita is not a text, but it is the goddess herself. Amba Twam, O Devi, you Anusandadami, I prostrate Twam, you, I offer my prostrations to you. And Anusandadami means like not just offering prostration, but it's like Anusandana means contemplation. So I contemplate on you. And who is Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita. Who is the Bhagavad Gita? And Bhavadveshini, who is the destroyer of Bhava. Bhava again means samsaram. So all the entire samsaram as well as all problems are removed by you, Bhagavad Gita, O Devi. I constantly contemplate on you. This is the first shloka. Is it clear?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you are sleeping in between.
So what can I do? Tell me if you...
Yeah, so the next one is Namostu Te Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Fullaravindayata Patra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalito Jnanamaya Pradeepah. So like after first like prostrating or offering prostrations to Devi, goddess, who is in fact Bhagavad Gita. Gita is not a text, but it is the goddess who showers Advaita Amritam. Next, like prostration is offered to the person who wrote it, which is Vyasa. So, Namostute, Te, for you, or to you, onto you, namo, namostu, my prostration. Who? Vyasa. To you, Vyasa, my prostration. And what is the nature of Vyasa? Vishala buddhe, means Vishala buddhi, one whose mind as well as intellect is very broad. This very broad intellect here may also means that, like, he was capable of accepting, like, he wrote the entire four Vedas, and like he accepted a lot of philosophies and other things, like bhakti, jnana and all those things. So he was Vishalam, as well as he was Vishala buddhi, because like he realized the Advaitic reality, he realized Parabrahman. Therefore it is also Vishala buddhi, because when the intellect broadens, when the intellect widens, then the reality that everything, whatever we seen is one entity alone, dawns. So that is also meant by Vishala buddhi. And Fullara Vindayata Patra Netra. Netra, his eyes. His eyes are like blossomed lotus. So his eyes are so beautiful. It's like generally Aravindam means like lotus. So Aravindayatana Netram means like that is like eyes which are of the shape of lotus, which are as beautiful or as big and beautiful as lotus. But here it is a blossomed one, Fullaram. So it is a blossomed lotus. Lotus is beautiful, but a blossomed lotus is very beautiful. So his eyes are so beautiful, and it's like when a lotus blossoms, that means its inner beauty comes out. The inner beauty of human beings is their compassionate nature, their kind nature, their attitude, like helping attitude, selfless attitude towards others. So Vyasa's eyes in itself showed like such compassionate nature. Of course, you can't be compassionate, like you have to be compassionate if you have to have Vishala buddhi. You have to be compassionate if you have to write the four Vedas and the 18 Puranas and all those things. You have to be compassionate, because when a person realizes the reality, then he doesn't need to help out others, or he doesn't need to put an effort towards writing things so that it benefits others. But Vyasa didn't stop. He wrote the four Vedas, and for people who can't understand Vedas, he wrote the Puranas, and then he wrote the Mahabharata for like Dharma and whatever a person has to do. And he didn't stop with that. He also wrote Bhagavatam for people to like laymen to directly get Amrita. So he was like, his eyes are like blossom lotus, that denotes like his compassionate and broad mind again. Yena Tvaya, by whom? By such a Vyasa, Bharata Taila Purnaha. Like by such a Vyasa, like he lit a lamp. Jnanamaya Pradipaha. Pradipaha. He lit the lamp which is Jnanamayam, which indicates knowledge. Like the lamp is the lamp of Bhagavad Gita, and that lamp indicates like knowledge, because it is full of knowledge. Jnanamaya Deepam. He lit the Jnanamaya Deepam, and like it is Prajwalitam, means it is shine, it is glowing, or it is lit so bright. It's like its flames are so bright, really bright. And the oil for that is Bharata Taila Purnaha. It is like Bharatam. It is, we can take it in two senses. Like one can be that Bharatam means the land or India in general, because India is the place where he wrote and he like where his works are accessible. Therefore the oil is like Bharatam. The oil is like India, or the people of India and the culture of India. It can also mean that the oil is Mahabharatam. The oil is Mahabharatam, by which the lamp of Jnanamayam, the knowledge lamp, is lit. That means in Mahabharatam, when a person knows Mahabharatam, he can find knowledge in it. Mahabharatam also can directly be meant, like taken to mean Bhagavad Gita portion of the Mahabharatam rather than the entire Mahabharatam. So Satyavyasa, I prostrate to Satyavyasa, who is like Vishala Buddhi and whose eyes are like blossomed lotus, and by whom the lamp of knowledge has been lit with the help of oil of Bharatam or Mahabharatam or Bhagavad Gita. Now is it clear?
Yeah,
then it continues. Sarvopanishado gavah dogda gopalanandanah partho vatsa sudir bhokta dugdam gitamritam mahat. So this shloka is a small one. It speaks about like knowledge of Bhagavad Gita came out. It's a beautiful analogy explained by Madhusudana Saraswati. So, Sarva Upanishado Gavah. Cow. The Upanishad, all the Upanishads are cow. Sarva Upanishado Gavah. All the entire Upanishad is considered as a cow. If it is considered as a cow, Dogda Gopala Nandanah. Like, and the person who milks the cow is Gopalanandana, means like he is Krishna. Gopanandana is Krishna. So the cows are all Upanishads, and the person who is milking the cow is Krishna. Partho vatsaha, and like Partha or Arjuna is the calf, is the child of the cow. So Arjuna is the calf. Partho vatsaha sudhir bhokta. So like, and bhokta means like people who drink this are sudhihi, people who have good intellect, whose intellect are well poised and well matured. Such people drink it. Dugdam Gita Amritam Mahat, and the milk that comes out of this, the cow, out of the milking of Krishna as, and the milking of the cow of Upanishads is Gita Amritam. It is a Gita Amritam, and it is Mahat. Mahat means it is very great. So like there are a lot of things can be explained in it. Whenever you milk the cow, even as like always like there is a bonding between the mother and the child, so it is generally accepted that, at least in olden times, that when, if there is a newborn baby, and when the baby is like hungry, then like milk flows out of the mother's breast. So that is what is like considered traditionally as well as in olden times. So similarly, like if milk has to come out, like when we milk the cow, then like it is like it's forcing it. But when the child is near the mother, then milk automatically flows. So, there is a lot of difference between automatic flowing as well as forced thing. And so the milker of Krishna, like the, here comes the important or emphasis of what Krishna did. Krishna is the milker who milked the essence, Amritam, out of Gita. Amritam, the Gita, Amritam. Amritam of Gita from the Upanishad. That means one first thing is Gita is the essence of the Upanishads. And the essence of milk out of the cow of Upanishad was milked by Krishna, and Krishna didn't force it. Krishna used Arjuna, the calf of Arjuna, to churn out the milk from the cow. That means in a way Krishna made Arjuna ask questions, and it was like Krishna who really kind of was the force behind Arjuna asking questions, and thereby like bringing out the essence of Upanishads. So there are many other analogies as well, like cow. For example, cow, like, though cow, Chinmaya gives a beautiful example, like, though cow has, like, the very essence of cow is milk, and milk runs through its entire body, even as blood flows through our body, but still, we'll have, if you have to get the essence, get the milk, we'll have to milk a particular portion. So he, Chinmaya jokingly says that if we pull the tail, we won't get milk, we'll get something else. So, in turn, what it means is, like, Upanishads contain lot of theories. Upanishads contain, like, the Vedas, as well as Upanishads also contain, there are, like, Brihadaranyakam and Chandogya, most of it is to do with meditation and other things. Few also speak about karma and other things. So, like, lot of topics are there in Upanishads. If we don't choose the right one, if we don't concentrate on the right thing in the Upanishad, then we will get distracted easily. But the milk of Upanishad is the essence of Upanishad, which is Gita. That means learning Gita keeps us, like, focused on the reality rather than the Upanishad, because Upanishads have a lot of concepts. So Gita is the essence or the milk of the cow, because it is the essence of the Upanishads, and that was milked by Krishna. Krishna was a person who used the calf of Arjuna in order to bring out the essence of Upanishads, essence of the cow. Is it clear?
Yeah.